Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Guys, let me say, it's noble work you're doing.
On 670 The Score.
Yeah, let's show it to America. A few things I'm sure are going to jump out at people, most notably the Chicago Bears being at the top of the standings, 12-4. Listen, everyone thinks Chicago's going to stink. The Bears won 12 games 2 years ago. They were 8-8 last year despite Mitch Trubisky being their quarterback, despite having awful turnover luck. Only four teams had fewer interceptions, meaning the defense, meaning had fewer interceptions than the Bears. And they get Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan back. I think the Bears, with just league average quarterback play in Nick Foles, are going to be really, really good. In the NFC in the last 3 years, try to do this off the top of my head, Seahawks, Saints, Rams. I think those are the only three teams that have won more games in the last two seasons than the Bears. Everyone thinks the Bears stunk last year. They won eight games. They lost Akeem Hicks. They lost Danny Trevathan. So I think the Bears are ripe for a comeback. To answer coach's question, their turnover luck usually bounces back year over year. They had the most interceptions in football a year ago.
I'm sorry. It makes me laugh.
Laughing out loud.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
All right, well, that was the case. You hear how Chris Tannehill frames it with the rejoin. Welcome back. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Pleased to be joined on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park by my good friend from Fox Sports 1, First Things First, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio, What's Right with Nick Wright. My guy, Nick Wright. What's up, Nick?
What up, Danny? What up, Mac? It's Tanny. Danny's always told me what a great producer you are. That was an amazing rejoin. But you kind of took all the bullets out of my gun. I was like, well, I can't make the Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan points. Like, that's not great. I was like, my great stat that only three teams have won more games in the last 2 years, that's already been said. So I don't know the hell we're going to talk about. We just want to talk about the 10-hour doc on the second greatest player ever, or you want to stick with the 12-4 Bears? Whatever you guys want.
Nick, I give you the treatment that I would give to any of Danny's friends, so it's not just you.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
I can't call him out of town stupid because Danny Trevathan has been a huge part of the success, and locally I think that's been overlooked. But you can be a bad 8-8 football team, Nick. They were a dull, bad 8-8 football team last year. By the time the year finished up, they're a lousy.
I listen. I think that's fair, but I also think there are certain teams that the mojo, if you will, gets sapped from them because they're at practice every day, they're in the meetings every day, and they know they got a bum at quarterback. And I don't think Nick Foles is great, but Nick Foles is a real NFL starting quarterback. And I think that alone makes the team better. They still had, I think, the number four scoring defense in football. Might have been five. You guys can check me on that. But a lot of this is also schedule-related. Their route to 12-4, to me, starts with the Chicago Bears being America's last undefeated team. You look at the first 6 weeks of the season, find me the loss. At Detroit, maybe the most poorly coached team in the NFC. Home for the Giants. I think the Giants are going to be the worst team in the whole league. At Atlanta, I can't believe they brought Dan Quinn back. Home for Phillip Rivers and the Colts. Phillip Rivers has already taken his post-football job coaching high school football. Home for 43-year-old Tom Brady. and then at Carolina. I mean, to me, you don't, and I don't even think the Rams are going to be very good, but you don't have a really tough game until at the Rams, home for New Orleans, at Tennessee, that little stretch right there. I think you start off 6-0.
It's a reasonable point about the start of the schedule. Like, there is so much cynicism here, Nick, that it's actually kind of refreshing to hear the out-of-town perspective, because 8-8 was such a disappointment that I think what you alluded to in the piece on Fox Sports 1 is, like, it wasn't that bad by the record. Like, it felt cataclysmic here because of the previous year, 12-4, double doink, and there were actually Super Bowl expectations, and the hope was that Mitch Trubisky was going to take that Jared Goff leap. You know, some radio host bought a ticket for him to be MVP at 200-1. Exactly. I don't know what idiot would have possibly done that, but, like, so many of us were drinking the Kool-Aid of a Super Bowl last year that we don't want to be hurt again by buying into their over at 8.5 wins this year.
Which I totally understand, but I just think, I don't think all 8-8s and 7-9s are created equal. The other city that's calling me for interviews right now is Denver, because I picked the Broncos to go 3-13. And they're like, we went 7-9 last year. Drew Locke's our good. I'm like, yeah, okay, exactly. Drew Locke's your quarterback. Check in, mate, sirs. But the Bears, to me, were a quarterback away from being able to carry what was. What did you guys start last year? 4-1, 3-1, until you had the really rough stretch of football. I really like the personnel you guys still have on defense. You guys played it in the rejoin, but I think it's totally underrated that Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathan come back. You could argue that's your second and fourth most important defensive players. And I love the way at the end of the year, I mentioned the beginning of the year, but you're home for Detroit in week 13. You're home for the Texans in week 14. At Minnesota, I think that's a tough game. But then you're at Jacksonville leading up to what I think will be the game that decides the division on Sunday Night Football, Soldier Field, Green Bay at Chicago. And then, listen, I understand Aaron Rodgers has been an absolute nightmare for you guys, but you take your chances with it. But let's say this, Danny. Let's say I'm overstating the upgrade from Trubisky to Foles. Even if I've overstated where the Bears are going to be at, I do think Bears fans should be dead set that if they don't make the playoffs this year with the expanded postseason, that there have to be some significant changes, because you guys are in too much of a win now mode with too much overall talent on the roster to not be one of the seven best teams in a 16 team conference that, to me, has a handful of downright bad teams in it.
I agree with that part. I don't think there's any way Matt Nagy gets fired. I think if there's a disaster season, it's possible for Ryan Pace. I think he bought himself some goodwill with acquiring Khalil Mack in the 12-win season the year before last. The expanded playoffs is absolutely a good point. And the other thing is, man, they signed Robert Quinn and gave him $30 million guaranteed. So we're going to get to see what it's like for Khalil Mack, who you know well as a fan in the AFC West for the Chiefs for all those years. Like, if he has a legitimate pass rusher opposite him, forget Akeem Hicks in the middle, but Akeem Hicks, Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack with Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan on the inside, there's an argument. I don't know who you put over them, but there's an argument the Bears have the best front seven in football.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I knew when you said I didn't know who you'd put over them. I was trying to kind of scan my brain for the. I think Baltimore is going to be absolutely terrifying again, and I think the addition of Calais Campbell only buttresses that to a degree. I think San Francisco has an argument. We didn't go anywhere, even though they traded away DeForest Buckner, but they then drafted a D lineman with that draft pick. But yeah, that should be. I don't want to say that should be good enough, but that gets you in the game. And the other thing that I mentioned that I didn't realize watching games last year, but I'm sure you guys talked about, it should be impossible that you guys were 28th in the league in interceptions. I understand turnover luck, vacillates, but to go from 36, I don't know if it was 36 turnovers first, whatever it was, you guys were number
36
one in the
takeaways.
NFL. Yeah, and number one not only in takeaways but also in interceptions. You're number one in interceptions in 2018 to go all the way to 28, if that just levels off to a degree, I think that's worth a win or two by itself. I think Foles is worth a win or two, and all of a sudden, now you're right in the ballgame.
Yeah, we were talking about the turnover problems just yesterday when Prince Amukamara signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. He had none last year. He had none in his first year three seasons ago. That definitely you've made a lot of great points. I cannot argue with them, and I agree with Parkins, Nick, that Robert Quinn is going to help them out enormously, but I point to Nick Foles just being a tick better than Mitch Trubisky historically. Yes, he's done more on the hugest stage of all, but he's only slightly better than Mitch over the long haul, and that's he doesn't run as well as Trubisky. I see an offensive line that didn't get better, and I don't see much of a running game with the way they coach it or with their talent there, and they don't have a backup to the kid they've drafted 2 years ago, Montgomery. They don't have a backup to him right now. So I can see them winning those 12 games, but I promise you, if they do, the way it looks to me, there's going to be a lot of 12 to 10, 15 to 13 wins along the way. It's going to be winning ugly.
I think that's fair. I think we disagree on Foles versus Trubisky more, not so much because I love Foles, but more so because I just think Trubisky is a quarterback he just simply can't win with. And I think Matt Nagy knew it, and I think Matt Nagy is going to feel somewhat liberated, if you will, to call the type of plays and the type of game plan, maybe I'm giving him too much credit here, that he wants to when he's not terrified of what his quarterback is going to do. Your point about the offensive line is well taken, and I know Kyle Long dealt with injuries, but he still, when healthy, was a great offensive lineman that you guys lost. But the other part of it is this. Who in the NFC North got better? I would argue as a division, you guys are the only team that got better. Detroit, to me, is an irrelevant team. Green Bay spent their first-round pick on a player they hope doesn't play. Their second-round pick on a player, on a running back that wasn't on Pro Football Focus's top 250. Minnesota traded away one of their best offensive players and lost some defensive guys in free agency. So I don't look at that division, even though it has three teams, all of whom in theory could make the conference championship game. I don't look at the Vikings and the Packers as teams that got better. And I think the Bears.
My bad, Nick. That was actually what I was surprised by, because if you're going to love the Bears as much as you do, and I'm cautiously optimistic about them, and it'll all come down to Foles v. Trubisky and health and turnover luck. We've discussed those issues. You also have the Packers at 12-4, so you can't hate them that much.
No, but I don't. They were 13-3 last year. I'm just saying I don't think the Packers got better. I think the Packers will be fine. I think the Packers benefit from some of the same schedule luck, if you will, that you guys do. I mean, you guys draw I want to make sure I have this exactly right. You guys draw the NFC South and the AFC South. Both of you guys do, right? I think that's awesome. I think that's great. I think that in the NFC South and the AFC South, there is one, a top 10 team, and that's the New Orleans Saints between the two divisions combined. I think there are two awful teams, auto wins in the Jags and Panthers, and then I think there are five 7-9 to 10 win teams in the Falcons, Bucks, Colts, Texans, Titans. So I would feel differently if the divisions you guys had drawn were, if it was the NFC West and the AFC North, obviously. But drawing the AFC South and the NFC South, to me, is a boon for everyone in the division, which is why, if I'm, doing back-of-the-napkin math, looking at my projected standings, which, Danny, might as well be gospel. My gambling record speaks for it. I have the NFC North producing the most wins of any division, because you guys both, so that's 37 wins for the division by my own math. So it's the best record of any division in football, but a lot of that's because you guys are beating up on the AFC and NFC South.
Well, I got to say, as we're talking to Nick Wright from First Things First, Fox Sports 1, he has the Bears winning 12 wins. You and I have always laughed when, like, big-name national media guy puts out their win-loss record for every team, and then we get dorky about it and count it up, and it doesn't equal an equal number of wins and losses.
Correct.
So I at least respect your process, even if I think you're a little too bullish on the home team and Bears fans are just beaten down from last year's disappointment to get on board with you. Because normally, national TV guy picks the Bears for 12 wins, you'd be welcomed. But I think because of your LeBron stance and Bears fans, they're like, ah. But at least you actually counted the whole thing out.
So, quick story. So the schedule comes out Thursday night. Friday after the television show, I pick all 256 games. I print out the schedule. I have a green highlighter and a red highlighter. I go team by team, and when I highlight one team green, I find the other team, and I mark them red. That way I don't have any mistakes. I then do my full – it took me about 4 hours and 15 minutes to do the full standings. I then do all the math, and I'm like, wait, I have 255 and 257. I have one game here where both teams lost. So now I have to go – one by one, team by team, to find which one I screwed up. And it was, if you're interested, Minnesota at New Orleans, week 16 is the one that I had them both losing. So I had to go through 15 and a half weeks of games in order to find the one that I had screwed up. So if anyone did the math on my official prediction, they would see they do add up to 256 and 256. The math checks out, and I imagine I will get all of these games correct.
All right. Based on your projections, Nick Wright, who has the number one pick in the draft next year?
The New York Giants. I have the Giants at 2 wins, the Panthers, Broncos, Jags, and Bengals at 3 wins, Jets 4, Rams, and Lions at 5. Those are your worst. I think the Giants are drafting Trevor Lawrence. I think Daniel Jones, the most fumblingest fumbler I've ever seen fumble, his first 4 games of the year, home for Pittsburgh, at Chicago, home for San Francisco, at the Rams. I think he's going to have 14 fumbles in his first 4 weeks. I think it's just going to be a disaster for Joe Judge and the Giants. I think they're going to be a 2-win team.
All right, so this is my buddy Nick. We obviously talk a lot. We go way back to college, and we've been doing with all of our guests, after we talk about whatever the requisite thing is, we want them on to tell some stories because there are no games. You've already been very generous with your time. But
yeah.
I have been loving kind of living vicariously through you as you become a pseudo-celebrity and a national TV star.
Pseudo?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you with pseudo still. But what is amazing is, like, when someone will say something to me and they'll be like, hey, you know, what do you really think about the Cubs? Or what do you really think about the Bears? As if I'm not telling them the truth for 4 hours a day. But that's just like some guy at a bar or whatever. You, because you're on national TV, are having legitimate A-list celebrities respect your sports opinion.
You are a horrible
gambler. Can you bring us behind the scenes of what it is like to be Nick Wright of Fox Sports 1? Yeah, I said it. You're horrible.
Listen, I documented last year 5 games against the spread every single week, 61%. Now, did I bet those 5 every week? No. Did I end up losing thousands of dollars in gambling on football last year? Yes, but the picks were good. My picks of my picks and my just thirst to bet 35-1 parlays for high dollar amounts, that ruined me. But my picks are money, sir, and I give them out for free to everyone. But to answer your question, so the best one is I think I helped convince Lil Wayne to sign the Chiefs' second-round draft pick to a sports agency. Because Lil Wayne is a Packers fan, and I one day was saying something nice about the Green Bay Packers on the TV show, and he tweeted something about me and my Packers take. And that, of course, is thrilling because Lil Wayne is one of my five favorite rappers ever. So I then realized he's following me on Twitter. I wasn't even following him on Twitter. What a schmuck I look like. So I DM him. We end up becoming text buddies. Oh. He texts me about – should I say the name here? Yeah, no problem. It's all right. He texts me a few days before the draft about Jalen Hurts. He's like, hey, what do you think of Jalen Hurts? And I'm like, I'll be honest with you. Don't think he's a starting NFL quarterback. Don't understand the first round buzz. Doesn't make sense to me. And he texts me back, damn, I just signed him to the agency. And I'm like, oh, no, I should have done my research. I should have absolutely just kissed your guy then. I didn't realize. And so I text him back. I'm like, oh, man, I didn't realize that. Sorry about that. And he writes back. He's like, nope, I knew you'd give me the honest truth, even though he's one of my clients. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I didn't know he's one of your clients. I definitely would have lied. And so then, after the draft, he hits me up and says, what do you think of the kid from Mississippi State that was taken by the Chiefs? He doesn't have an agent. I think he wants me to represent him. And what I know is the kid had some, you know, potential character issues. I think he has to spend it a handful of times. Chiefs don't seem to care about that stuff. And the Chiefs are the team I root for. And at this point, like, I need to basically become part of, you know, Lil Wayne's circle. So I gave him a glowing review, and I think he signed him to the agency. Now, I am a little conflicted because I feel like I'm cross-dealing behind my good friends at Clutch Sports behind their back, but you do what you got to do. Young Money Sports Agency, I feel like I'm an outside scout for him. So that's my best celebrity story, Danny Parkins.
It's an incredible one. The idea of Lil Wayne signing a client to his agency because Nick Wright, who puts in 30-1 NFL parlays every week and has watched 0 minutes of film on that linebacker and did not know why he was suspended. You had no idea why he was suspended.
Danny, I'll tell you something else. I, during my answer to this question, had forgotten the guy's name. And was searching through my text messages to find the text with Weezy to figure out who the hell the story was about. But it's going to be a great job by them.
It's going to be great. Yeah, he's
you better hope he doesn't get arrested with an 8-ball in his SUV.
Well, you know what? He does play for the Chiefs, so if that's the case, I still expect him to start the following Sunday.
Wow! Them's fighting exactly. Words with little Danny.
Oh, hey, he's a diehard Chiefs fan.
That's
he knows.
My team. I'm from there. I love them. Listen, they're a football team, not a boys choir. Go play. That's how they do it. So we're really not going to talk about the long list of 12th men and 6'1", 110-pound guys that Michael Jordan bullied? We're not going to Dennis Rodman's MIA. Jordan flies out there, defends him in practice to fill, does all the stuff. Hey, Steve Kerr, take this piece. Hey, Scott Burrell, and your 4 points a game, take this. Hey, LeBradford Smith, I'm going to create a lie about you that's going to follow 30 years. You don't want to get into that? We don't have time?
No, Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1, What's Right, Sirius XM. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
See you guys. Bye.
See you, Nick.
That's Nick. Yeah, he's a ball of something. 12-4, Mac. 12-4.
There are reasons to buy in. There are, and we illuminated a bunch of them. And I'm with Nick on the division not being much better. The Bears did get on paper better. Their defense should have a better pass rush. They have speed at wide receiver with Ted Ginn. They have a better quarterback. Not by a ton, but they have a better quarterback than they did a year ago. And the Packers didn't draft to help themselves as high as they could have. And they lost their leading tackler in Blake Martinez and drafted for the future. So I'm with him on a lot of those things. But there's always a game that you think you're going to win, like right now, and again during that week, you wind up losing. I don't know which one it is. Maybe it's Carolina in week 5 or week 6, whenever they have the Panthers. But that is not a daunting schedule. He's correct about that. None of those teams really scare you.
I think what's interesting is what I said to him about normally Bears fans sees national personality pick the Bears to be the one seed. It is something to get excited about. But because there was hope and hype going into last year, Bears fans are like, I don't want to do that to myself again. Like,
right.
Set the bar low and then be surprised if they surpass it, as opposed to like 50% of the local Chicago media last year picked the Bears to be in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the hype was so high for last year that this year I will be surprised if any Bears reporter picks them to win more than 10 games. So like, and you paid him the compliment right off the top. Say what you will about him, he's not out of town stupid. He does a maniacal amount of homework. Like, he knows about the, you know, turnover differential, losing a right guard, the schedule, how it starts, all that sort of thing. Call him an idiot, whatever. You call him a LeBron homer. That is absolutely true. But he does his homework, and so it's at least backed by something. And I, for one, hope he's right. It's just a bad look for me because I had them at over 8.5 wins, but nowhere near as good as 12 wins, and, you know, such is life.
Yeah. As long as you cash the winning ticket, that's all that matters. Sorry?
That's because I also believe in Matt Nagy. Like, he hinted at it a little bit, but I think the biggest reason for hope offensively is he'll actually get to call the game he wants with a quarterback who knows the system. Like, I think that's the biggest reason for offensive improvement. It's not Juan Castillo. It's not Anthony Miller becoming amazing. It's Matt Nagy will actually be able to run a diverse, complicated offense and not dummy it down for Mitch Trubisky.
Do not sleep on Arlington Hambright, the late-round tackle out of Colorado. Arlington Hambright is coming to revolutionize the position. I can speak.
Yeah. Well, they're going to need another one. We can do that for Ryan Pace. I'm not too concerned about it. I didn't know that – Hub brought it up yesterday. I didn't know that – the second or third running back on the depth chart was a concern for Bears Twitter. Like, I'll tell you why that is not a problem at all, at least in my world, next on The Score.
Are the Bears going to bounce back this year?
Bounce back from the low of 8 wins last season. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. And, you know, Mac, I pride myself on staying up to date on what Chicago sports fans are concerning themselves with on Twitter. It's a bit of a hobby of mine. But I guess I missed the section of the Bears fandom that is concerned about the depth chart at running back behind David Montgomery, because they don't love that could be Cordarrelle Patterson or Tariq Cohen. Those aren't traditional running backs. So who is going to be the backup running back? Hub Arkush brought this up yesterday. Those aren't hard to find in the NFL. They're not expensive, and they're always available, and every year multiple guys on multiple teams are productive who you never would have expected. So Carlos Hyde, Devontae Freeman, Lamar Miller, like whoever, pick a running back, teach him the offense, put him on the roster. I don't really think it matters very much.
Well, you're a party pooper. You've gone Hub on me because I was the one who brought it up. I'm interested in it just because they need to fill the position. And I've seen them swing and miss all too often on trying to acquire scrap heap help at the running back position. So I'm conditioned to seeing the Chester Taylors of the world.
Right.
Who else? Michael Bush finished here. Marion Barber. There are a handful of guys.
Ryan Nall.
Thank you very much.
Kevin
yeah,
Jones.
Guys who finish here and just don't. And, you know, LeSean McCoy is another name out there. Isaiah Crowell is another guy who's available. And last year they failed as well. And I remember the discussion. Mike Davis is going to be a trump card here. There's some people buying into Mike Davis before the year started. I mean, he didn't even get on the field. When did they cut him? October?
That was a terrible signing, even if the 2-year $6 million deal. That was awful. But I also – there are so few running backs that have that Barry Sanders, like, regardless of system, they'll be productive. It didn't matter what the offensive line was or the coaching staff or the system. Like, they would get their 5 yards a carry. So – the problems with the Bears running game to me are more like about the system and the commitment and the coaching and the talent up front than whoever the backup running back is. Like, we know Matt Nagy doesn't run the ball that much. We know he doesn't want to run the ball that much. And we know when he runs the ball, David Montgomery, they trade up for him in the second round. Like, he's going to get the majority of the draft picks that they use for him. So, like, he's going to get the majority of the carry. So, if you want to, you know, add it to our list of campaigns that you like Isaiah Crowell more than LeSean McCoy and Lamar Miller, like, totally fine. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying, like, what is the – in a Matt Nagy offense.
Well, let me add some other to the mix here. We're not sure if Montgomery's any good yet. There's not much evidence he's going to be a really good NFL player. I'm not down on him, but I'm not a thumbs up on him because he really didn't get many chances, and he was frustrated last year. Should get Anthony Heron on. He has some good insight on what he thinks is missing with David Montgomery in terms of his feel for the game and his vision and his patience. I've heard him break that down with Lawrence, and it's very interesting. And I'm not that sophisticated of a viewer of the running back position, of a student of that position, where I can make those assessments. But we don't know if he's any good. It's also a high volatility position. Guys drop all the time at running back, and I just think that is something they're going to. And I'm with you. It's scheme and it's offensive line as much as anything. But you still have to. You have a roster vacancy. You need to have another running back before you start camp.
And they will. And I said second round, third round pick for David Montgomery. And I'm with you. We don't know if he's good. We talked about that a lot in the second half of the season last year, that like, they traded up for him and they weren't using him to figure out whether or not he was good. And the running game was clearly broken. All I'm saying is that what do we think? Say they sign whoever it is, Isaiah Crowell, LeSean McCoy, whoever it is. 100 carries? Max? Like what do we think the second running back in a Matt Nagy system is getting? And so like if that guy doesn't work, there's gonna be churn at that position. There'll be guys cut off other rosters in training camp because they you know, the Bears have 89 guys under contract, they got a spot left. There will be guys there that position for 4 to 7 carries a game is just, I don't know that it's going to be that difficult for them to fill.
Yeah. Well, given good health for Montgomery, he probably won't have more than 100 carries per year, but you know, if he winds up hurt, then you got a problem. Potentially. And you may have a problem regardless of this. I was surprised to find out Lamar Miller is only 29 years old. He just turned 29. I thought for sure he had more miles on the odometer than that. He seems like he's been at it for far too long to just be 29. But McCoy's 32, and I don't know what he's got left. Andy Reid didn't give him much of an opportunity even during the postseason. Last year, he was wearing civilian clothes, wasn't he? In all of their playoff games, did he even get in the postseason? Dress? I don't think he did
get into a playoff game. And yeah, if Andy Reid's not playing him, he probably doesn't have a whole heck of a lot left. But that's a good example. I mean, a lot of the good teams for the most part are not investing in that position for a high priority, right? That's an organization that now they just used the 32nd pick in the draft on it, which is where the Patriots selected a running back a couple of years ago. But that contract is, I believe, 4 years, $9 million for the 32nd pick in the draft, compared to where the Giants took Saquon Barkley, and it was the second most money guaranteed ever to a running back behind Adrian Peterson. So it's just Lamar Miller, 29 years old. He's been a sixth-round pick in fantasy football seemingly for 19 years, but he's available because the NFL doesn't put a priority on that position. So all I'm saying, I'm not saying that there's no value in it, but they will sign someone, and I don't necessarily worry about who that someone is right now, because even if whoever it is doesn't work, it won't be for much money. Okay. It probably won't even be on a guaranteed contract, and they can just cut him and bring in a new one the next week.
I want to rest your mind a little bit. You've used the word worry twice, and a texter in the 815 just got to us. Why are you worried about a backup running back when they don't run the ball? I want to let everyone know I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
This is not the kind of thing that is going to cause sleeplessness for
yes.
me. It's one of the few fill in the blanks that's left with the Bears roster before they get to training camp. I promise you, there are far larger concerns to me in the world and even in sports than the Bears backup running back position. But it is something Ryan
Pace
is going
to
bothered me for months.
Concern draft.
Concern draft. boy, oh boy. I'm not worried about it. So I want to assure you.
I don't want to mischaracterize you.
Yeah, worried is... I'm worried. You know, I've been thinking, this is troublesome to me. I'm vexed. The Bears don't have anybody behind David Montgomery other than Tariq Cohen, and he's going to be a receiver most of the time. Yeah, I'm not at that level of concern.
Two iconic birthdays, one sports and one music, next on The Score.
Remember when it's the lowest form of conversation.
The McNeil and Parkins Show brings you This Day in Chicago Bulls Playoff History.
Off comes into Tony. Look out, it's on line.
Yeah! Bulls win! Bulls win it! Kukoc with the lifesaver!
Scottie Pippen was not involved in that play. He asked out of the play. I left him off the floor. That's as much as I'll talk about that, and we have practice tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
It wasn't pretty much Phil taking me out of the game. It was like, you know, we exchanged words and I just took a seat.
So it was your decision based on frustration?
Excuse me?
Scottie, Phil just said you weren't in because you asked out of the play.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where you weren't involved in it.
Exactly.
When you say exchange words, what happened?
I have no comments on that.
That was This Day in Chicago Bulls Playoff History on the McNeil and Parkins Show on 670 The Score.
Happy birthday to 1.8 seconds left. The Bulls official Twitter account tweeted out the video of the game winner from Tony Kukoc and said, Tony Kukoc called the game, called winner. I'm like, eh, that's not exactly telling the full story, man, of that final shot. But he doesn't regret it, Mac.
No, no reason to regret it. He wishes it would have gone down another way. But if I do it all over again, probably do the same thing and just have words with the coach and not go in. He didn't want to go in, and Jackson wasn't of the mindset to put him in. Well, thank goodness Pippen has had, you know, a little bit of time to reflect on the errors. It's only been 25 years since 1.8 seconds. He has looked the ass in this Bulls documentary through 8 episodes, I think, more than anyone. I think he's looked the ass. Jerry Krause hasn't been portrayed very kindly. Jordan, from time to time, has not been portrayed as your friend. I want, in the final episodes on Sunday night, let me get this out of the way, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going fishing for a couple of days. Matt Spiegel's in with Danny tomorrow and again on Friday. I want, in episodes 9 and 10, Reinsdorf to talk about his role in the breakup of one of the greatest teams in professional sports history. I want him to express, to be asked about his regrets and whether he should have stepped in and tried to facilitate a better relationship with Krause and Jackson, thus with Krause and the players who stood behind Jackson and weren't going to play for somebody else. Because he's been more than content to see his former GM take it in this thing, and Jerry Krause has not looked good. I'd love to see Reinsdorf's feet to the fire in episodes 9 and 10. You're looking for Pippen to be portrayed as a great basketball player. You think that has been absent in the first 8? I want Jerry Reinsdorf. I want some accountability for Bulls fans from the owner. That's what I'd love to see in these final two episodes.
I'd love to see it too. I do want more well-roundedness on the Pippen story in terms of his contributions to the team. Obviously, they are going to get to, you know, it actually being broken up. And so when they released this to the media, the first 8 episodes were given to media members to screen them, to write reviews, to, you know, drum up enthusiasm and hype and all that if they wanted to. But episodes 9 and 10 haven't been reviewed. I saw something about episode 9 leaking in one spot, but for the most part, this is very much under wraps. So I don't know anyone who knows how this is going to go. It's been very good. It's been very entertaining. There have been some omissions, like there always will be, and there are some critiques, as the director Jason Hare admitted with Dan Bernstein. It's never perfect, and the longer you wait to release it, the more things you could add and all of that. So I'm sure that there will be some things left out in episodes 9 and 10, just like there were in 7 and 8, right? No mention of the Hugh Hollins phantom foul call and the follow-up on how that series ended. So I think that people will likely be somewhat disappointed, but what I expect my overwhelming emotion to be is just disappointed that it's over. Because even if it hasn't been perfect, it's been wildly entertaining and, frankly, needed. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed the distraction, and I've enjoyed feeling like the communal aspect of, hey, remember what it was like to watch a sporting event together and care about the same thing at once and then talk about it both online and then on the radio the next day? I miss those times. So whenever this ends, I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, and we can talk about what we want to see next and start suggesting what we want out of the 98 home run chase documentary, yes, which is around the corner, and that might be the next thing we have to break down as though it were a game the following day. We don't know. Not going to be surprised if that's going to wind up being the case. So happy birthday to 1.8. Ay. I'd probably do the same thing all over again. We also got a music birthday today, Parkins.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do, man.
Cole Wright's favorite artist.
Is that right?
That's what he told us, remember?
Yes, he did that. And then he couldn't name any more musicians. It starts and ends with Stevie Wonder. I don't care what type of music you favor. If you don't like this song, you just don't like music. Stevie Wonder, the pride and joy of Saginaw, Michigan, is 70 today. I'm going to get out of his way. McNeil and Parkins with an hour to go on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Glad you're with us on this Thursday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.